America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Well, voting is officially underway on Election Day here in Massachusetts. And good on you if you're going out and casting your vote. And we will get more of what is happening around the country on Election Day during the news with Courtney in about 40 minutes. Real quick, because we can get back to Jason Kelce and other things, but here's my lead this morning. I like to dine out occasionally. I don't know if anybody knows that or not.
Try any good restaurants lately?
At a restaurant or a bar near me.
Mm.
And so I have been very interested in question 5, which is on the ballot today.
Is that the Fifth Amendment?
You can ask Brian about that, Curtis. Brian knows his constitution back and forth, upside down.
That he does know.
Necessary.
Yep. Amen.
Question 5, when it comes to those who work in restaurants in Massachusetts, would raise the wage that they are paid. They are current servers and bartenders are currently paid $6.75 an hour.
Jesus.
Plus they get their tips.
Right.
Should this question pass, the restaurant workers would be paid the minimum wage in Massachusetts, which is currently $15, plus they would theoretically get their tips. And I have listened to the back and forth on this quite interestingly, because I used to, when I started my radio career nearly 34 years ago, I worked part-time on the weekends on the radio. And Curtis, I was one of the best servers ever at Bullfinch's restaurant in Sudbury during that time.
Great spot.
Then I moved on to being an extraordinary bartender at the Weston Racquet Club. And that is indeed, if you're wondering, where Jen Hill and I met and fell in love while I was bartending at the Weston Racquet Club. Free drinks for her, if you could probably guess.
Of all places to bartend, that's like when Will Hunting wanted to be the janitor at MIT.
So I've been really interested in this because it's, I think, a very interesting thing when it comes to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. There was a survey done of servers and bartenders, and it seems like the majority of them are not in favor of this proposal. 86% determined that the current tipping system works well for them. 88% oppose a mandatory tip pool where tips are shared with the kitchen and other non-service staff. And 91% say that they prefer this current system with a lower base wage and the opportunity to earn tips. When it comes to restaurants in Massachusetts, they were also surveyed, and 83% of them said that they were one major unexpected expense away from having to close their doors.
Mm-hmm.
So for those restaurants and bars that you go to in your town and in your city that are they're not the owner is not making a fortune, is not rich. This is going to be something that could impact it. It is. It seems like it's also going to be something that could impact the price on the meal, the appetizer, the drinks when you go to a restaurant as well going forward. So
I never thought of it from like the owner's perspective either. I was really only thinking of it from how it would affect the tips for the waiters and waitresses. Yes. So that's an important thing to think about.
So
Greg comes from the other end.
I am going to vote no on this.
How do you think the customers feel though? Like, because we've always had this conversation where people are like, hey, I'm tired of tipping. Do you think maybe there are customers out there that go, look, oh, I can go to a restaurant and I no longer have to tip?
But Greg just brought up the fact that it could be reflected in the price in which your food is going to be. So wouldn't you rather be able to decide on what you're going to tip a server than your meal just being upped?
No, I know I get what you're saying, but if the person might not be thinking about that element of, okay, my food might go up. They might just be thinking about, oh, I don't have to tip no more. Because we've always had that like conversations. Now it's like every store you go into, no matter what it is, every restaurant, every basically it seems like you go buy anything and they turn that thing around. And it's like, all right, you want a tip. So what do the customers, the people who are not in the restaurant business, do they look at it just like
You're not going to be spending less money. You're going to have less say in how your money is spent.
Mm.
Right. But do they know that or are they just
who does know what
the people that
well, that's why we're having the conversation.
Right. So the people go, well, all right, they make more money and I don't have to tip. How much is my food going up?
Well, I think the expectation might be by some, if this is what you're saying, that nothing will change and that the restaurant would just absorb the additional money that they're paying in wages. But the restaurants, it doesn't seem like, can absorb that because they're in a small margin business, not a giant margin business.
Well, that's why I say leave it up to the restaurant people. If they feel like it, the people that actually work there, if they feel like
they don't want it,
that should be it should be up to them.
Yeah.
Who am I to tell a guy who's or a gal that's busting their ass as a waiter what they should be making or not making?
There's also a provision in this that would prevent people like yourself from taking a to-go bag from an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Well,
like they are trying to outlaw that practice, which has been determined to be wildly inappropriate.
I pay more money, so I should be able to get a doggy bag.
No, you're supposed to eat it there. We have determined that on this show.
Show me where it says that.
An all-you-can-eat buffet means you sit down and eat it there. Yep. It's not all-you-can-eat for the whole week.
Show me where it says you can't take stuff from the Chinese buffet.
It's not if it was going to be that, it would be called all-you-can-eat and all you can take home. That's not what it's called.
So Wiggy, I'm on your side here. I want to clear this with Brian regarding what the constitutional amendment would be. But what if we did this? You call it remote buffeting. So you go to the buffet, bring it home. Why not? Everything else is remote. You could do it that way. And Greg, when you say all you can eat, a lot of people eat at the restaurant and then they also take food to go and eat at home.
A lot of them, they don't let you.
That's what Wiggy does. That's not what that
buffets?
Is inappropriate for. Oh, you mean when it's not an all you can eat buffet, they take to go.
Right.
Yeah, but this is but we've discussed this so many times with Wiggy. It is an outrageous act to sit there and eat everything that you can stuff into your face and then take more for later.
Right. That's part of the buffet.
It's not the way it was designed.
Yes, it was. Why don't they have a sign that says all you can eat buffet, but you can't take none home with you?
I've been to a lot of all you can eat, like sushi specials in the afternoon and stuff, and they say you cannot take it home.
I've never seen that. And I've been to a bunch of Chinese all you can eat buffets, and I ain't never seen a sign that says no doggy bags to go.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
I need a little boneless spare ribs and and beef teriyaki for the road.
Chinese, kid.
All right. Well, it seems like it'll be interesting. Question five seems to be one of the most closely contested questions that you will get to vote on today. And maybe later on we'll get some servers, bartenders, whatever, weigh in with your opinion because I'm curious about that.
I mean, I took 20% no matter where I am nowadays.
All right, they said it coming up next, and here's Courtney with what is trending right now.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by the 99. The Celtics take down the Hawks 123-93. Jason Tatum led the way with 28 points, and it was Nemias Keita's first game in the starting lineup. He had 10 points and 7 rebounds. Here's what Mazzulla had to say about him.
He's just grown a lot as a player, and quite honestly, he doesn't know how good he can be. He's got a great ceiling, and so the standard's very high. And I thought he did some great things for us tonight. But when you're as good as he could be, you know, he's just gotta. We all gotta hold him to that standard every single night. And so, it's a credit to him for just allowing us to coach him. It's a credit to the guys for supporting him. But you see what he's capable of when he's at his best, and he could be a real asset for us towards the season. So he works really hard. He cares. He wants to be coached, and it was a tremendous. I'm grateful he allows me to coach him. But he's starting to realize how good he really can be, and he's working at it.
Jaylen Brown was out of this game with a left hip strain, but he was putting up shots on the court before the game started, so he should be good to go soon. The Chiefs beat the Bucks in overtime in Monday Night Football 30-24. Patrick Mahomes completed 34 of 44 passes for 291 yards and 3 touchdowns in the win. The NFL trade deadline is today at 4 p.m., and the Bruins are in action tonight, taking on the Maple Leafs in Toronto. Puck drop at 7. They signed a 12-year vet forward in Tyler Johnson to a $777,000 contract for the year. In some Red Sox news, they issued a qualifying offer to Nick Pivetta. Pivetta and his reps at CAA will have until November 19th to decide whether to accept it. And you've got to try the 99 Restaurant's new $14.99 Big Deal Meals. 4 hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday, like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 51 degrees, cloudy skies. Election day here in the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. Beautiful afternoon to vote, 72 and sunny.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It is a Ty Tuesday. Ty Law will be on with us in about an hour and a half at 9 this morning. And it is election day and polls are open. And we're going to get to They Said It in a moment. This is Tom from Leominster. Hello, Tom.
Hello, how you doing?
What's up?
Okay, so this thing about Jason Kelce, I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I don't want to argue back and forth about what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
The fact that he grabbed the guy's phone and threw it down to the ground and smashed it, if that happened in Massachusetts, that could technically be a felony. The fact that he took someone else's property away from him and smashed it, and if it's worth more than $1,200, it's a felony.
Stealing the phone would not be a felony in Massachusetts, just so we're all on the same page.
Excuse me?
Stealing the phone in Massachusetts would not be a felony.
Right. You're entitled to it at the Apple store.
Exactly. Carry on.
Okay. And the other thing about assault, an assault is you don't have to physically touch somebody to assault them. You can threaten them in a threatening manner. Move around, do something like that. A battery is if you touch somebody, you know, unwillingly or, you know, improperly. So, yeah, you could argue back and forth about whether there was an assault or a battery or whatever, but I just think the fact that he took the phone and smashed it and, you know, broke it on the guy is...
You think that's a douche move? Mm-hmm. You think he should have ignored it?
It's definitely a douche move.
Yeah.
But I can understand, you know, him being pissed.
Yeah.
You know, listen, saying there stuff are some, about his
there,
brother.
There are a considerable amount of people who think it's a douche move. Wiggy and Courtney do not.
No. You take my phone, Jason Kelce, you smash it. Oh, we got problems.
Really?
Oh, hell yeah.
It's not.
A little chin music?
Listen, one of us is getting them paws put on him.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, he even looks like
he's a strong
dude.
Which phone are you going to get more mad about, though? Because you do have two phones. Oh.
No, I only got one phone.
You used to have multiple.
Yeah, well, that's when I was coaching.
Oh, you downsized?
Yeah, well, that's
recruiting.
The work phone.
Yeah, that was the work phone.
Hold on a second. They included a phone for you in that $100,000 deal?
Well, no, that was part of every teacher gets a phone.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because they don't want them. They don't want you using your work phone.
I feel like that's not true.
Yeah, it is.
Let me be clear. This isn't like my lead yesterday and Wiggy's lead today had nothing to do with what the law is. My lead yesterday was that this country, people have gotten way too loose with their lips and think that they can say whatever they want. And it's showing that people have just been coddled their entire lives and haven't been put in their place. That kid now, I'm sure, is never going to go up to somebody and use a homophobic slur to try to, you know, get likes on a video. Like, it's just loser mentality. And that's why I had no issue with Jason Kelce putting him in his place. Yeah. Nothing against, it wasn't debating about a law. It was just the fact, yeah, it's a douche move, but the kid started it.
And in this country, there is a cause and an effect. And if you don't want the effect, don't cause it. Like, I understand legally, we can get into whatever the hell you want to talk about. But the First Amendment has nothing to do with anything other than the government telling you you can't say something. In this case, a drunken guy got in the face of a guy much bigger than him and tried to get under his skin. He succeeded.
And can I be honest?
Yes.
I'm just so tired and sick of people being like, you got to take the high road. You got to take the high road. Yeah, taking the high road sounds great in theory. Try being Jason Kelce for a day and being, you know, yelled at constantly whenever you walk anywhere because people hate who his brother is dating. Like, I just think all of the people that are saying you should be taking the high road, you're too good for that. You've never been put in a situation where people are saying hateful, mean things to you. And if you were put in that situation, trust me, you'd be taking the lowest road imaginable.
This is John from Billerica. What's up, John?
Hi. So that guy, you know, he assaulted Kelce, you know, by getting in his face and saying all these things. That's assault. And then he gets too close to him. Everybody's allowed their personal space, and he gets too close. I mean, the guy has the right to defend himself, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can argue whether taking his phone and throwing that to the ground is defending himself or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think the response, I think Courtney is right. Like, people think that they can, because they're used to doing it on social media, they think they could say anything they want to you, and then they're going to scream, you know, you can't touch me afterwards. Right.
Well, but that's the world we live in. And Greg, that's why I'm actually, you know, I'm shocked that there are more people. And I get it, because I think everybody loves Jason Kelce. I think if it was, you know, let's say if it was
LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron James or Ryan Clark or somebody else, they might have a different take. But I'm always at the point where it's like, and I've said this and I'll always stand on it from day one, is you can't just be talking out the side of your mouth to anybody and think like, oh, okay, I get it. It is your First Amendment right, but there are some people that react differently.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people, it's like, you know, when my kid used to play AAU basketball and he used to, you know, play pickup basketball, I used to say, listen, yeah, you could talk trash, but guess what? There are some people out there that can't handle when they're being talked trash to,
correct,
and they might haul off and swing on you.
That was my role at Neshoba.
So be careful when you're talking trash.
Used to call me the enforcer.
All right.
But yeah. I think I'm done taking the high road. Like, I really, the
welcome
more
to
I
the
think
club.
About
come
it,
on
it's
on
just,
our side
but,
of the
well, because
club.
On
come
such
on.
A smaller scale, every day on this show, people can run their mouth, and you call them a loser, and it's like, wow, Courtney, really, she's a bitch. And it's like, okay, well, sorry. Yeah. You want to run your mouth? I'm going to come back at
there you.
You
go.
Let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up the Don Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Where should we begin this morning, Shime?
Well, Greg, let's begin with David Pasternak. He spoke yesterday in the locker room to reporters, and he talked about being benched in the third period of Sunday's shutout win against the Kraken, and seems to be that it was due to a bad turnover. Mm-hmm. Here was Pasta trying to be accountable.
That was a bad turnover, so how I said, I take responsibility for it, accountability, I guess, is the best word. And I just want to move forward. I don't want to be any distraction to our team. You know, the guys know how I feel about them in here, and it was a bad play. So how I said, I take the accountability and already moving forward.
Okay.
Why did it make it seem like it was an injury, though?
When?
Because he went out there and tried to, like, skate. And he looked really like he was.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like the accountability. I mean, and I think he's not a natural. He's a guy who leads, I feel like, with his talent, not necessarily like a vocal leader on that team. But they need guys who are vocal leaders on that team. So
I guess if you're gonna make an example out of somebody for turning the puck over,
well, yeah,
it's good to do it when it's your best player. You know what I mean?
And I guess you can, when it comes to the lack of offensive production, you can guess who Jim Montgomery is pointing his finger at and expecting more from when it comes to David Pasternak. So, all right, what's next?
Well, next let's go over to the New England Patriots. My guy Drake May was on with the afternoon show here at WEEI yesterday, and he was asked about becoming more of a leader in the locker room and the reaction from the players after he threw that pick that ended the game on Sunday. Here was Drake May.
Yeah, I appreciate those guys, you know, for coming over and saying things to me and, you know, telling me to keep my head up. You know, that goes a long way, you know, especially the quarterback and a decision like that at a time in that point in the game where we're into the game. It was tough. I think, you know, just more. I'm going to be harder, you know, myself than probably anybody's going to be harder on me. So that's the mindset I try to keep. You know, I think there's another step I can take in leadership-wise, and I got to go make some plays and kind of be smarter with the football. I think that'll go a long way and kind of earn the guys' trust and respect. But I think I got respect in that locker room with those guys and kind of earn it throughout the year and kind of can make the next step in being some vocal and do little things with teammates to kind of be that quarterback leader that everybody wants.
Right. Okay. I like Drake. He's accountable. He's always, you know, putting stuff on himself when he doesn't play well.
He does. He does.
Did you guys know that he and Mason Rudolph knew each other?
No.
Yeah,
I saw like a picture, right?
They mentioned that 17 times on the broadcast.
Yeah, their dads played together at UNC, Curtis.
All right. God in heaven.
Come on. Sounds like Eli Manning.
Mason Rudolph's real name is Brett, too.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
But I think when it comes to his maturity level, for 22 years old, it is a part of what leads me to believe that he's going to be a really good quarterback in this league. I mean, he's well advanced, well above what I would expect from a 22-year-old when it comes to leadership.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he definitely has the leadership quality that you see in a guy, especially at such a young age. And, you know, great leaders, the first thing that they do, that they hold themselves accountable. And you see a guy like him doing that, you're looking and going, okay, now the physical tools, those are there. And the way he plays, you're like, all right, you stop putting pieces around this kid. Yeah. He's going to be good.
Jones was all over him yesterday. Did you listen to any of that?
No, who was he all over him for?
He was upset about the interception, and
he was also really butthurt about the fumble. Like, I don't get that. Like, the Vidarian Lowe was like a traffic cone as the defensive end ran around him, and he tried to escape the pressure and get it to the running back, and it was like a half a second too late. I don't understand how, like, that's entirely Drake May's fault. Like, yeah, you wanted to get it out a split second earlier, but I mean, the left tackle also got blown by like it was me playing left tackle.
Yeah, I don't blame a guy, especially a quarterback. I don't blame a quarterback whose focus is on one side of the field, and then from behind, a guy strips him, is in the pocket like a strip sack. It's a great play by the guy, but especially when it's that quick and a guy gets blown by. It's one thing if you're in the pocket for a minute, and you can't find nobody, then you got to stop being a little bit concerned. I just don't
put... I mean, does, Shime, you maybe you brought this up or Wiggy brought it up yesterday. Does the interception happen if Kendrick Bourne doesn't trip over his feet anyway?
I don't think so.
You've been in the all 22.
Yeah, that was
my big thing yesterday, is that if Kendrick Bourne doesn't trip over his feet and he runs that corner route, he kind of holds that safety down a little bit. And I don't think that that's an interception, but I also think there were other things that could have helped prevent it from being an interception. Like, I don't know, Kayshawn Booty, like, fighting for a football might have been nice instead of just watching the guy catch it. But, you know, that's just another thought. So, you know.
And, Greg, you asked if we were listening to Jones and Keefe yesterday. Yes. I can tell you a large amount of people in our listening audience are listening to Jones and
Keefe.
Really? Show is cooking with gas.
It's a good show.
I really enjoy it.
I enjoy it every day.
I really enjoy it. All right, what's next?
Well, next, Greg, Jason Tatum was on the 520 Club podcast. Not enough podcasts, Curtis. We got to have more. I think this one's hosted by Jeff Teague, former NBA player. And Tatum talked about when he first got drafted by the Celtics, and they also signed Gordon Hayward. Here was Jason Tatum.
So you didn't think he was going to play at all in Boston?
And then I get drafted. Gordon Hayward signed with the Celtics. I called my agent like, yo, I got to get traded.
Yeah, facts.
I'm in summer league before I ever play a game. Like, yo, he like relaxed, just waited
yeah,
out.
Yeah, man,
like,
he doing too much.
Basically, he's like, you got to chill. I'm like, yo, I'm trying to play. I didn't get drafted to come off the bench and not start.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, yo, just like, you in a great organization. They going to teach you how to play the right way.
Well, I mean, thank God that it was Gordon. I mean, you never wish for an injury, but thank God that it ended the way it did. So Jason Tatum remained here as a Boston Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, I get where his frustration may be coming from, where it's like, wait a second. All right, this is just how many shooting guards, small forwards are we going to have? It's going to be a logjam here. Am I ever going to get an opportunity to play?
Also, Curtis, Shime is being called fraudulent, and Wiggy on the Subaru of New England text line.
For okay. what?
For defending the strip sack of Drake May when you would not have done the same for Mac Jones, according to this text.
I would have. I did it for Cam Newton, and I would have did it for Mac Jones. If you get smoked from the blind side and you lose the football, I mean, I don't subscribe to like, all right, you got to do a better job of ball security, quarterback. I mean, the guy got absolutely smoked. I would do the same thing for Mac.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was relatively, not always, but relatively level-headed on certain situations when it came to Mac Jones.
You were never, I mean, and it's one of my favorite, one of my favorite qualities about you. You were never level-headed about Mac. And
okay, fair enough.
And you never allowed the offensive line to be an excuse.
No, and I under normal circumstances, I don't. Like, it's not something I do. And like I said, like, Drake deserves some culpability in that, but it's not entirely Drake's fault by any means.
Right. We all have our blind spot.
Yep.
Good job, though, Shime, because I'm looking at the all-22. If Kendrick Bourne doesn't fall down, then that safety probably has to play, because it looks like
he has to hold that corner out because it looked like zone coverage.
Yep. And you could start to see him turn like he was going to go play the corner route that Bourne was running.
But yeah, he flips those hips, and there's no way he makes that pick.
Yeah, once he sees that he falls, he just continues to run underneath it. Well, good job on the all-22, Shime.
Thank you, Wiggy.
All right, is that it, Shime?
Yeah, that'll do it today for They Said It, Greg.
Okay. Courtney has the news coming up next on Election Day. And then Ty Law will join us at 9 on a Ty Tuesday here at WEEI.
You are listening to The Greg Hill Show on WEEI. It's time for...
She's spoken at lunch with two popular hosts of WEEI, two popular radio personalities.
The news.
She was spotted during trial at expensive restaurants, dining with lawyers, radio hosts, or social media influencers.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Wiggy sold me a bill of rights.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
I've made an error.
On WEEI.
Well, it's here. It's election day. Kamala Harris is looking to become the first female president, while Donald Trump is looking for a second term. The polls here in Mass opened up at 7 a.m. Some polls as early as 5:45. That was the earliest that they could, depending on the poll location. They could decide to open early.
Okay.
They will remain open until 8 p.m. this evening. We've talked about a few of the questions on the ballot this morning, but I've already been asking around, like, question one. I don't really understand how it would impact my life at all, but it's about an auditor being able to audit.
Well, the legislature here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts has a giant budget, and it is never audited by, and the state auditor who audits most every other part of government would like the opportunity to audit the legislature, and they, for whatever reason, don't want her to do that. I don't know why they wouldn't want that. I will be voting yes on that.
I think I will as well.
That is the way I will vote on that. Curtis, have they voted in Dixville Notch?
Funny you ask me that question.
You know, they vote up there. There's like eight people who live in the town. They vote first every year at midnight. Like, what do we know what happened up there? It's always a tie. It's like a weird thing. Like,
I'm going to Google Dixville Notch, and please pray for me. Okay. Trump-Harris tie. Dang it, deadlocked in Dixville.
They do that every year on purpose, those people. So they go out and vote at midnight, and then they...
The New York Times actually sent a guy to Dixville Notch, and you wonder why these things are losing money.
All right, well, get out and vote.
Yep, get out and vote.
It'll be an interesting day today, and tomorrow morning, I think, tomorrow... during the day will be interesting as well.
So. Greg, have you seen the adapted memes? Do you remember Hawk to a Girl?
Yes.
They've now come up with the walk to a poll and vote on that thing.
Oh, God.
We talked about question one. We talked about the question about tipping. And then we talked about the shrooms with Eliza Dushku.
Yeah.
The other ones is the Lyft and Uber drivers being able to unionize.
Yeah.
And Lyft is offering discounts to take you to the polls today. They posted a video of an 89-year-old Lyft driver explaining why voting is so important. We can hear a bit of that.
I was 30 years old before I could vote. I was born in 1935. Civil rights movement was high when I was about 30, 35 years old. I had seen so many young men and women die because of a right to vote. And I said, I've got to vote. The people have to realize the price that was paid for them to vote. I've been driving Lyft for 9 years. Even when I drive locals, I ask them, have you registered to vote? A lot of them say, my vote doesn't count. Oh, yes, it does. One vote can change a conversation. One vote can change a whole society.
Yeah.
I say, all right. Now, I don't know if I'm getting in a Lyft with an 89-year-old.
Well, I was just going to say, you don't like older drivers.
Yeah.
So would you get in that man's Lyft? He's 89 years old.
I mean, if I had no choice, but when he asked me about voting, I'd be like, man, mind your business.
Would you get...
My question
would
is
you
that.
Get into a Lyft that was being driven by Jimmy Carter?
No.
Okay.
No. Unless it was one of them Teslas. Teslas that drive on their own. And he was just sitting there like, you know, as a way to make money for Jimmy, you know. Drive, come ride with Jimmy.
Yeah. Would you let him handle the music selection, like whatever Jimmy Carter wanted to listen to, you'd be willing to listen to?
Some of it, because I'm probably into some of the music Jimmy listens to. I like the standards.
Okay.
Right. I whatever happens tonight, I hope one of the networks interviews Jimmy.
It was the last thing you wanted to do, Curtis. Get out and vote.
Yeah.
Not exactly what I...
I don't know how he informed everybody that that's what he wanted to do, but God bless him.
Maybe he could have predicted, you know, 3 years ago that who the candidates were going to be.
Maybe.
Mind your business.
Well, he's not asking who you're voting for. That guy's asking if you're registered.
So what? Well, it's not his right to know whether or not I'm registered. Mind your business. You're just complaining.
Well, see, you don't think you think you have a right in this country not to vote.
That's what makes America great.
Somebody was very upset with me yesterday on the DMs on my Instagram because you said, if you don't want to vote, you don't have to vote.
Right.
And I said, oh, yeah, I agree with you. And somebody said, I would have never said that. Old show listener.
Right.
That
I sure have, right to do it. That's what makes
America. In my old age, I've become soft.
No, it's not soft. That's what America. That's why America is great.
I mean, to be honest, that's the Van Leeuwen.
You know?
And LeVain is.
By the way, great gift from you for my birthday on Friday night. The Van Leeuwen gift card. I did use it last night. I really appreciate
new
it.
New flavor
Chris.
Or?
New flavor. I went with the brownie, like Oreo brownie, honeycomb cookie Ooh. Dough thing. It was very good.
Delicious. That's like a lot of sugar.
I only had half of a kitty one. Just a bite.
Curtis, the worst is that LeVain cookies are opening up just on the opposite side of Greg's apartment from Van Leeuwen. Same distance, though.
Now, you
have... I might have this morning show soon.
You have both told me that LeVain Bakery,
awesome.
Which is opening right around the corner from my place, is the best...
The best cookies.
And what's so great about it?
They're so warm. Good. They're like they have a perfect amount of chocolate chips in them. I mean, you have to make sure that you're getting the right one because I don't like nuts in my cookies, but their main one is like a walnut chocolate chip. Yeah. But they have regular chocolate chip, they have a double chocolate. Yeah. The cookies are warm, thick. You'll only be able to eat half.
They're better than cookie crumble.
Very different than crumble.
What?
Yeah,
I never even heard of it. It's called LeVain.
Yeah, the style of cookies different than crumble. And then one more question that we haven't discussed yet is the MCAS making it a requirement for kids to be able to graduate. I think I'm going to vote no on that. I don't think some kids aren't good test takers. I don't think taking the MCAS should determine whether or not they graduate.
Yeah. I think you're in line with like your thing and a lot of others is no expectations but from anyone in the country at all.
Oh, there's expectations, but there are kids that are not good test takers.
Well, I also think that there's a different reason too. Like teachers are forced to teach to the test at this point just so that kids can pass the test. Whereas if you just keep the MCAS but don't make a requirement to graduate, you can therefore still figure out what schools are succeeding and what schools aren't, and then allow the teachers to actually teach, you know, relevant and important things.
I understand this, and it's an argument that's made, and it's from people smarter than me, but at some point, you need a baseline understanding of intelligence and a way to judge if people are learning or not.
That's why you keep the MCAS. You just don't use it as a requirement to graduate.
And if kids are writing papers and passing on their homework and stuff, and I'm seeing the Twitch line, it's a yes on two. Sorry, not a no. But there are other ways in which to know if a child is paying attention or learning besides just filling in the blanks.
All right. I mean, it's been a long time. Did we take MCAS when we were growing up?
No.
ERBs.
I went to private school.
It's been a long time.
I did too, so...
You know, teach me how credit score works in high school.
Yeah, that's a checkbook.
That's what you need to teach kids.
Yeah. Drivers are pissed about the changes made in the Newton Corner traffic circle that were done to make converging of the traffic safer. Now, over in Newton, there is a traffic circle to get on and off the Mass Pike eastbound.
This is right by Buffs.
Yes.
It is a literal death trap.
Yes.
It is, yeah.
It's the worst. They tried to make two separate lanes for cars merging into the traffic, and drivers that are using that route quite frequently are saying it's actually making it worse. We can hear from one driver, Richard Livingston, on BZ.
It made merging into the circle better, but it also backed way up onto the pike when it wasn't that crowded.
Yeah, I've been noticing that. So when you're coming down the pike, like almost any time of the day, there's that massive line of people waiting to get off. Is that exit 14 or whatever? And that causes a problem for everybody else because there's not room for everybody to sit in that third lane of the pike and wait in line. That used to only happen when there was like a Boston College football game on Saturdays is when that would be backed
up. And now it is every day.
Now
because
it's all the time. It's like it doesn't matter if you're going by at noon or whatever.
Yeah.
Because what you have to do with the new way people drive in this state is you have to get out of the fast lane, which is the right lane, get all the way to the left side so you can get past that intersection. Then you got to cut over when you're under the hotel to get ahead of the next merging people. It's a disaster.
What a weird hotel, too. Every time I drive under it, I'm like, that's so interesting that the ballroom basically just like looks at the highway.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Stephen Staganelli.
Every time you see a hotel, Courtney, be honest, do you think about how they have a wedding?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly. Stephen Staganelli, a city councilor in Amesbury, was accused of disorderly conduct after blocking cars with Trump flags over the weekend during a rolling rally. Staganelli stepped in front of a pickup truck, jumped on the hood. Eventually, he got off while giving the middle finger to the driver. If you're watching on Twitch.
The guy's a little on edge, I guess.
I think so.
Yeah.
The election. I mean, a lot of people are on edge today.
Oh, it's
maddening.
Yep.
So, he's a city councilor?
Yes.
In Amesbury?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. It seems very aggressive to get up on a vehicle like that.
Holy
cow. Because of who somebody is voting for.
Correct.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah. We can hear what he had to say. He talked on WCVB.
Okay. We hear about the old man who yells, "Get off my lawn."
Right.
Well, I'm the old man who says, stop at the stop sign. No intention, any attempt by me to stifle First Amendment rights. I didn't even know there was any kind of rally activity going on. All I saw was a stream of cars going through a stop sign at a time when I saw what I thought were pedestrians trying to cross.
Okay. So he was doing it because they weren't abiding by
him. No, he was not.
All right.
Triggered!
All right.
You, sir, are a jackass.
Just relax.
All right.
Everybody's going to vote, and we're going to wake up tomorrow morning and get on with our lives.
So I would have drove him like a mile down the street with him on my hood.
All right, we got to take a break.
Okay.
We'll get to the rest of the news in just a minute or two, including the new trend in baby names, which is giving our news person the ick.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.